Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. What an unbelievable week, where devastation took place in parts of Georgia and Florida. The blessing that you put upon so many, the crops that were ruined. But yet we're reminded at the end of the week, as a man who has been in jail, tortured, and at home prison in Turkey, just because he loves Jesus Christ, is now free. Thank you, Lord, that you remind us that when we look to you, things happen. Now, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There tends to be two times in people's lives when they purposely seek Jesus. When you lose everything, or when you have everything. Part of that really hits home when we think about this week that just took place, the destruction in Florida, the destruction in some of the farms here in Georgia, the cotton. It was going to be a boom year, and yet crops were devastated. Pecans. But this past week was an incredible week. Wednesday night was canceled. A curfew was put upon this city that was eventually, thank God, lifted at 8:15 in the morning on Thursday morning. But yet there was still cleanup that had to take place. Some people were without power for quite a while. You know, I had heard Tony Paak, who was our mayor here in Douglas, had put out a statement and said, all of Douglas's lights were back on. And then I was told, not really so, because parts of the city of Douglas are not on Douglas Power. And Gray taught me about that. That over in Touchton Woods, they're on the co-op. And that's Attila. We take a lot of things for granted. We truly do. Thank God for generators. There are many that lost everything. Just watch the news. I don't care what news you're watching, but if they're showing videos of what took place in South Florida, all I can say is, oh my Lord. Can you imagine after a storm heading home and finding out you have no home? I can't fathom that. That all the things you've been saving for so many years, you know, your kids' first outfits and all those little things, the toys that they grabbed, and now they're 30 years old, but, you know, you still hold on to those things. But yet there are also many that are grateful that they still have everything. The event from today's Holy Gospel that took place in Jesus' life is recorded not only in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31, but also in Matthew chapter 19, as well as Luke chapter 18. And these describe an event where a rich young ruler approaches Jesus and says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' immediate answer appears to be kind of strange, because he said, why do you call me good? Jesus went on to say, no one is good except God alone. Jesus addresses what I believe to be the greatest misconception about inheriting eternal life. That a person can someday, some way or somehow be good enough to inherit eternal life. I remember a conversation in my office with one of our parishioners who was questioning about whether or not he was going to go to heaven. And we had some incredible talks. And I shared some reading with him that he should take a look at. You can't earn your way to heaven. And that became real to him. No one is good enough except God. If I were to ask for a show of hands here today, who thinks they're good people or know someone is good? We'd all raise our hands. We all know somebody's good. That person might be sitting right next to you, rubbing shoulders. If we think we are good or know someone who's good, then how could Jesus say that only God is good? Well, simple. We judge goodness on a whole different scale than Jesus does. If Jesus says that only God is good, then goodness is behaving like God. On the other hand, we don't define goodness as behaving like God. Humanity lowers the bar. We lower the standard. And some people lower the standard even lower than others. Reminds me of that old dance, the limbo, where you go under the pole and the lower it goes, it becomes more difficult, right? Well, in today's Holy Gospel, this rich young ruler had for himself a very high standard for goodness. He didn't murder. He didn't commit adultery. He did not steal. He did not lie. He did not cheat. He did not dishonor his father and mother. Do those things sound familiar? You know what? That's a higher standard than most people today. Believe it or not. Hopefully we would never murder or commit adultery. But how many of us can say we've never stolen, never lied, never cheated, or dishonored our father and mother? I think there'd be a whole different set of hands. Although you and I may fall short, this rich young ruler thought that he was good enough to inherit eternal life. The only conclusion that I can come to is if goodness is behaving like God, then everybody lacks something. The gospel says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He had compassion on him. "One thing you lack," Jesus said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." That's in today's gospel, verse 21. The man's reaction was one that might surprise you. Then again, it might not. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Can you imagine, just for a second, receiving a call on your life from Jesus Christ, from God Himself, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, "Look what I'm going to have to give up." I want you to think about that for a second. What would go through your head if Jesus spoke to you in such a way? Would the first thing be about the tag sale, the garage sale that you'd have to clear house? Or would it be about, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord"? Well, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." We often think that it's only bad things that keep people from entering the kingdom of heaven. But sometimes it's our good things that do the greater damage. I want to give you an example. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, "The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things choke the word of God, making it unfruitful." There are a number of reasons why Jesus said that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." We can be deceived into thinking our material blessings are somehow a sign from God that He approves of who we are and what we do. Listen to this from Matthew chapter 4. "Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give to you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.'" We can't love both God and money. What comes first in your life? Then Jesus told them, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." That's verse 25 from today's Holy Gospel. I want you to understand this because this troubles a lot of people. I want you to understand Jesus is not saying that people who are wealthy are not getting into heaven. Please understand that. It's who you put first. He's saying that it's how you use your money that can corrupt or bless people. It's the heart. Not too long ago, when the Pharisees said, "Why do your apostles not wash their hands before they eat?" Jesus addressed that. He says, "It's not what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what's in your heart. It's the heart. It's who we love, Jesus, that will get you to heaven. If no one is good except God, then it's natural for us to react and say the same things that the disciples said in verse 26. It says the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" In other words, if you can't be good enough or rich enough to inherit the kingdom of God, then who can be saved? You know what? That's exactly what Jesus wanted them to see. Exactly. Jesus loves and saves repentant murderers, liars, cheats, and drunks. But there's one kind of person that Jesus can never save. And that's the person who does not see his or her need for a Savior. I want you to understand that. The person that thinks that they can do it all by themselves to get to heaven, there's no hope for that person. You have to put your trust in Jesus. The whole point that Jesus is making and that the disciples are finally understanding is that it's impossible for even very upstanding men and women to save themselves. If it's impossible for men and women to save themselves, then we have to look elsewhere for the source of our salvation. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you're here today on a Sunday morning for one reason. You need a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. There are people who are searching. They go searching to different philosophies or religions for the source of their salvation. But according to the words of Jesus, only God can save us. He said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. That's good news and bad news. The bad news is that you and I can never be good enough or rich enough to inherit eternal life. But the really good news is that God has made it possible for us to inherit eternal life. We inherit eternal life only, and I stress only, by accepting the free gift of salvation that is in His Son, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Yeshua. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. I want you to think about this. Eternal life is not something we can earn or we can buy, but it's something that we're given. It's a precious, absolutely free gift. And that's why we can literally sell everything and still have exactly what we need to get into heaven. When Jesus pointed people to God, what he was really doing was pointing to himself. In verse 21, Jesus implied that to follow God is the same as following him. That makes sense because Jesus is God in the flesh, God incarnate. In verse 18, Jesus asked the rich young ruler why he called him good, since only God is good. He had a point in doing this. The logic here is that if Jesus is good, then he must also be God. And therefore, we inherit eternal life by admitting and repenting, turning away from our behavior, from our sins, and recognizing our need for a Savior, that only Jesus is that Savior, and accepting Him as Lord. It's so clear when you just listen to all of these words. Please, relax. Listen to these words. You've heard them before, or at least the beginning part of them you've heard. But I want you to listen especially to the last two verses. You could probably repeat the first one with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And now buckle up. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Hear those words again. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. People love to throw around John 3:16, but 17 and 18, they keep holstered. You got to look at the whole three verses. Being raised as a Roman Catholic, I once believed that in order to get to heaven, I needed to be good enough. And I'm pretty sure that there are many others that still believe that. And I don't judge it. I have three sisters who are still Roman Catholics. I pray for them every day. They're great people. I can never be good enough to earn a place in heaven. That's because nothing I can do to earn my place in heaven. Because it's already been done. It was done on the cross at Calvary. On what we call Good Friday. When he went to take our place on the cross. In the place of all sinners. Only by admitting our imperfections and recognize that Jesus purchased for us our place in heaven by his death on the cross, that we inherit eternal life. And we receive this by faith. The opposite of faith is fear. Don't fear eternal life. Receive it by faith. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much that you gave us the way to eternal life. John 14:6 is a verse that just comes to my mind at the moment. On the night before he died, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. And Thomas said, but we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the way to eternal life. Someone said that receiving eternal life is like the hand of a beggar reaching up to receive the gift from the king. Knowing and accepting the King of Kings makes accepting that gift possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.